And obviously many questions in the case remain unanswered. Among them, how did this prosperous young Nigerian with the engineering degree from a world-class university allegedly transition from being a devout Muslim to being a would-be suicide bomber? Well, Vicky Barker reports some answers may be found in the city where Abdul-Muttalib studied for 3 years.
His teachers at University College London say Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalib was a well-mannered, well-spoken, and able student in the chemical engineering department. He was president of the Campus Islamic Society for about a year, but never, to their knowledge, expressed any extremist views. To Anthony Gleese, the absence of warning signs is cause for deep concern.
What is worrying in the case of University College London is the absence of evidence about it previously.
In 2005, Gleese, a Brunel University professor, wrote an influential paper about the radicalization of Muslim students at a handful of British institutions. University College London, UCL, was not on the list.
It's not been a site previously associated with Al-Qaeda-inspired attacks. Therefore, we need to be looking not at places we've looked at before, just, but also at places we wouldn't have thought of looking before.
2 years ago, the British government quietly launched a program called Prevent. Baldly put, its aim is to stop young British Muslims from becoming terrorists. It includes extra resources for pastoral care to those Muslims deemed most vulnerable. Britain's experience with homegrown Islamist terrorism has suggested these are young men of South Asian or Middle Eastern extraction living well outside mainstream multicultural Britain. But Abdul-Muttalib didn't fit into any of those categories. He was Nigerian. He was rich, living in a posh apartment near London's Harley Street. He was sophisticated, and he'd had the best education money and merit could buy. Sajjan Gohel is with the Asian Pacific Foundation, a London security think tank.
In many ways, it is the bright, articulate individuals that are most susceptible to the ideological message that groups like Al-Qaeda preach. The particular outfit that's being linked to Abdul-Muttalib, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, has become quite sophisticated in planning plots that are designed to evade airport security.
British investigators are still trying to trace Abdul-Muttalib's movements here to see if any of the contacts he had at UCL or at the East London mosque he frequented could have brought him to the attention of a terrorist cell. The British Federation of Islamic Student Societies confirms Abdul-Muttalib led its UCL chapter between 2006 and 2007, but it insists it's heard nothing to suggest he supported illegal acts. In fact, a spokesman says, during his tenure, the society worked to forge closer ties with student groups of all faiths. Now, British universities are in the spotlight, accused in some quarters of failing to adequately monitor potential radicals in their midst. But UCL's provost, Malcolm Grant, says universities of UCL stature must do nothing that could compromise academic freedoms and freedom of expression, and they cannot and should not screen incoming students.
We admit our students wholly on merit. We make no reference to their political, racial, or religious background or belief. That's fundamental to what we do. So we can't, as it were, vet students in any effective way at that point.
Britain's Home Secretary Alan Johnson agrees that the high reputation of Britain's universities rests in large part on freedoms which the authorities do not want to curtail.
Yes, there's an issue about radicalisation, which is why the prevent part of our counter-terrorism strategy is so important about ensuring young people are not radicalised in this way.
The problem with relying on a policy like prevent is implicit in its very name. How do you know if a program designed to prevent something from happening really works? For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.